For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. We are back for the recap. Round number 4, Anaheim 2, 2022, Monster Energy Supercross. Look, last weekend, we had the boy from Illinois win the race, Chase Sexton. Now, you had El Hombre. Is he coming in? Is he going to bust caps in people, or is he just going to get it done? Eli Tomac looking good all day long. Is he going to go ET on me, or is he just going to go ET flows on and show people why he's got the red plate? There's only one way you found out, so let's figure it out. Round number 4, Monster Energy Supercross. Let's check it out. Look, the guy on the KTM, what's that dude's name? Oh, yeah, that's right, McRath. He's always getting a good start. Ken Roczen pulls the whole shot. And usually when Ken gets the whole shot, he kind of pulls away. So I knew like 2 laps into this, you know, those guys are still catching him. And Ricky called it, which was a good call, right before the finish line. After the mechanics are, Ken looks back. And right there, I kind of knew like something was off. I think he's feeling, I don't know if he's not comfortable on the bike. Maybe he's injured or whatever. But this was a not the normal Ken Roczen pull away whole shot. And he's kind of checks out. So Malcolm gets a good start, and which is odd for him. You know, he struggles during the start. But it was good to see him back up here. You know, right now, this is different position for him, you know, like being up front and beginning part of the races, it just changes. And, you know, you got Ken Roczen, the fast, slippery German, usually trying to pull away. And you could tell Malcolm's trying to keep up with him. But Ken, everybody's doing a good job keeping him, you know, confined. And I think that kind of changed things. I thought Anaheim 2 was actually the best track of the year. You know, it was technical, had a decent whoop section. They actually pulled out one of the whoop sections. You know, right before the mechanics area, but it's not surprising that the guys that kind of finished up on the podium are some technical guys. And you wouldn't, when you think of Eli, you think of speed. You don't necessarily think of the most technical rider. You think maybe Chase and maybe Ken and that type. But I thought the track was very flowing, you know, and when, to me, when they have these long rhythm sections and Eli can kind of build up speed and he's got these 180 bowl corners, he really shines on that stuff compared to, I would say, the 90 degrees. But I thought from the practice and then the heat race, the way he kind of just sat back and, you know, flicking the bike, and he just looked very comfortable, which is great because I picked him. Remember, I thought he was going to have a chance to win. And normally, when Eli's in that situation, or a guy that, you know, as a ex-racer, when a guy looks like this, you just kind of call him out for the win. But we all kind of know sometimes Eli has some ET moments where extraterrestrial goes somewhere else. So you can never count it at 100%. But I just felt like something was different. And maybe it was the red plate. I talked about last weekend how you felt if he had the red plate compared to Anderson winning. And you know, he definitely showed up and showed out on these guys. So it was good to see that. Now, to me, like the little triple or double triple right here onto this elevator, then going into the whoops, it allowed people to square up, go inside, or rail the outside, go outside. And the difference between having a 90 and a 180, you can go left, right. You have the choice to pick which side of the rhythm section you're going to go to. So, I thought it was great. And again, like I said, when you have these, you know, baseball stadiums, when they start putting those 90s in, it just makes tracks for one line. And to me, this track set up for a guy that liked the flow. It was technical. A guy like Eli that likes to rail the corners, just have a good flow going. Cool triples, big jumps. Anderson, I thought, real good. I thought for him, this incident, what's happened with him and Rocks, and kind of spooked him. I think it changed his, maybe changed his attitude a little bit, like during the race. I felt like that was completely a racing incident. And you can tell, he goes in there, he hits a triple. King goes outside, Jason goes in, and those two lines came together, which was odd because you would kind of, as Roxon, I felt like he probably would have sensed Jason coming up the inside, but he had so much momentum coming out that he came in, Jason hit him. And if you look at that point, the way Jason was riding before that compared to after that, I think that did affect him. He goes in right here. I mean, what do you think, Cole Beach?
I thought it was a completely racing incident. Lines just came together, and if you know someone's coming up behind you, you can't leave the inside open like that.
See, this guy knows more than he says. He's just not that. He's good. Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was a racing incident to me. You know, and Jason got on the podium and he said, like, maybe he should have been more patient or whatnot. But
I should have been made a better move.
What you guys don't realize, like, when you have an opportunity to pass somebody, especially like Ken Roczen, like a guy who's won multiple races, the guy who's a title threat, you make that pass. Now, like, okay, right here, Ken's coming in and obviously he starts to see Jason. Jason tries to pull up, but with these sand sections, everything funnels into a, you know, one line. Jason actually did a great job actually not crashing. Ken just gets blown out. I don't know if Ken was mad once he saw this. I think maybe he'd be more mad at himself for going in second. I don't think he thought Jason was there. But that inside, when Jason doubles over those little humps going into that, it closed so much speed. And with the sand section, it was faster to go inside, but it was faster to go outside in a longer period, meaning the time that Ken lost by going outside. Normally he would have made that out by having the drive coming out. So I think Jason closed down on him a lot quicker than he thought, and those lines came together. And again, you know, the German was down. It was simple as that. Picking up diapers, shaking his goggles. He didn't know what the hell happened to him. But at the end of the day, he shouldn't be bummed at Jason. It was just a racing incident. So we'll see. The sand sections, to me, when they put these in the Supercross, I just think, like, it's cool. I think it's better off when they have it more as a sweeper or down like a like they did in Tampa a couple years ago, where it was like a straight section, compared to when they make it a you know, 90 degree corner. It just always ends up a one line, or you have incidents like this. You know, the sand's cool, but like, make it a whole straightaway, make it a real sand section where guys can, you know, make mistakes and make up time. Right here, it's either, if you're going to make a pass, you're going to make a pass like Anderson did, or you're just going to have to follow the leader, which you're going to get sandblasted. So I'm not against the sand. I'm just against where they put it at here. And, you know, again, there was a couple of incidents into it. Was it aggressive? Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't think it's aggressive in a way where, like, he was going in for a block pass. I just think it was aggressive as in he wanted to get to the lead because he knew Eli, the red plate holder, my championship pick, was right behind him. So Eli just makes the pass on Jason. Like, again, you can just tell. The last weekend, I thought he rode better. I thought he rode okay at Oakland. But this weekend, Eli was back to his old form. The difference to me when I watch this, which makes me kind of like, all right, maybe a little weary on Eli, is that normally when he's on this zone, he passes guys and he just dips out. Like, there's a speed separation, speed difference between him and everybody else that I didn't see. Even though he won the race, he looked comfortable. I didn't see that speed separation like I have in the past. But what I did see, I saw a more confident Eli than I think I maybe ever have.
Finally went out there and got the top spot. I had so much fun tonight.
In the past, just the little things, like, it just never looked like he was worried about anything. And going through the whoop section was super tough. He looked like he was just going in there with no care, flicking the bike through the rhythm sections, Jason right behind him. And that bowls well for him. I thought the Yamaha, it looked great. I thought everybody kind of looked good, but just Eli had a different confidence about him that if he continues, then he's going to be your 2022 Supercross champ. But we're only four rounds into it, so we'll see. Jason does his triple-triple and over jumps his thing, makes a mistake. And again, to me, I just think Jason was flustered and something bothered him about that whole Roczen thing. I've been in a situation where at Anaheim, yeah, y'all hook us up. When you make a pass, I made a pass on Chad Reed. I actually made a pass on the King of Supercross back in the day. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take Champ out.
Mistakes. And Carmichael is next.
And they booed me around. They booed me to the pits. They booed me to 7-Eleven. And that actually affects you. So I heard the crowd booing Jason on the podium. And it wasn't like James Stewart boos when back in the day or the Ricky Carmichael boos. But, hey, it affects some people. So I think Jason was still kind of flustered about that. But nonetheless, he ended up second. And, you know, he's still right there. Chase Sexton rode great. Again, he had a big moment. They kind of caught it at the beginning of the first, I guess it would be the second rhythm section. I think he hit his foot peg. Anyway, he had a big moment after this triple right here. I think scared him. So I thought he rode good still. That's good. He's stacking those chips, third place after what happened last weekend. And, if he continues that, he's going to definitely be a title threat. So now Cooper is concerning me now. Like I've heard some inside rumors that, you know, maybe they're having some issues, you know, with the bike wise and some, you know, personal things going on, like, you know, maybe second guessing some decisions, whatnot. I just think the crash that Cooper had, I ain't gonna lie, it was a tire crash. Like I know what that is because I've done it. And the way he just kind of fell over, like there was no, there was no effort in falling. Either he couldn't save it or, you know, he was just tired. And I've seen Cooper get passed a few times. And I just thought like, to me, I'm like, okay, he got passed. All right. He didn't want to mess with Anderson. Anderson was going faster. He's just playing the long game. But when you start looking at it, Cooper's been getting passed this year without a fight. And normally we know Cooper, the thing that makes him who he is just the fight. When he gets past, it's not over. Well, a couple times, and you know, throughout this beginning part of the year, when he gets past, it's kind of been over. And I just thought it was him just, you know, playing the long game right here, front end washes, see, and he just falls over. No effort to really get up like quickly, like no sense of urgency. And that to me, I think it's going to be the next 2 weeks going to be a big, a big change either one way or the other for Cooper. I felt like to me, it was either going to be that drive that made him win the championship. Either he was going to win it or he wouldn't finish top five. And that's kind of the way to look. That being said, he is the champ. He is Cooper Webb for the reason of like, he never gives up. So, that's just my honest opinion about it. I know he'll probably figure it out one way or the other, but just some strange passes and some strange things that I've seen happened this year that I haven't seen from Cooper since back in the day when he was struggling pre-KTM. So we'll see. As I talked about before, there's a lot of changes, right? Like a lot of people made, you know, trainer changes, bike changes, you know, girlfriend changes, rim changes, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, like all these bikes are pretty damn good. Like, and you can put somebody on this bike and somebody on that. Somebody could be with that girl and that girl. Like, it's always somebody else's girl. And to me, when you look at the result.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As many things have changed, they always remain the same. You're always going to have the cream rise to the crop. Now, to me, I wasn't a big fan of the, you know, cream of corn, whatever, but to me, the best is going to win. And, you know, Tomac switches over to Yamaha, loves the bike. He didn't like the Cowie. The Cowie looked great to me. Anderson switches from the Husky to Cowie, loves the Cowie. The Husky didn't look bad to me. I think most of these, we're like mental midgets. Like, we just need change, right? We want to make change. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence than me on there. The other girlfriend always looks prettier. But at the end of the day, she's somebody else's ex. It's somebody else's baggage. We all got baggage. So to me, racing's more mental than anything, because these teams, it's not like a secret magic. Like, we all work hard. Everybody trains the hardest ever, whatever. To me, it's just whatever makes each one of these things, each one of these riders comfortable. Now, I will say this. Eli looks more relaxed with the Yamaha than I think he ever looked on the Kawasaki. Now, is he faster? I wouldn't say that. He just looks more confidence on it. And to me, again, like, I haven't seen Eli do what he did in the heat race for a long time, if ever. Really just kind of almost toy with the guy. And, you know, again, as an ex-racer, I know that feeling, because I did that to Ricky back in 2007 in Toronto. I love you, Ricky, dude. You know, I had to say it. I'm just trying to make a point. I ain't trying to say anything. Ricky used to do that to me in outdoors if I knocked his ass off the track at Washougal. But, you know, that being said, he ended up winning still. But yeah, just Eli looks, you know, when he's over the jumps, he's just kind of moving around like this, you know, popping up and down. That's a good feeling for him. Coming in the whoops, like, his head when he comes in the corner is like lazy. I just think he looks good. Anderson, he looks great to me. He looked, after the Roczen thing, he got super tight, like he was waiting for, plea bargain, whatever it was. But I think all top three of these guys, they all won at the end of the day. Anderson, you know, proved that he's going to be there. Chase proved that, like, he's consistent. Ferrandis, you know, hey, he was top French guy. Malcolm was the top dude with the dreads out. He was the top steward of the week. Everybody rode good. You know, but at the end of the day, the man with the red plate. So we'll see how that continues. But I just think everybody trains. Everybody has good bikes. Everybody has good teams. It's just whatever makes them feel good at night. And, you know, they make decisions. You got to live with it, baby. Yeah, I will say one thing. Like, it used to happen to me. And, you know, in hindsight, when you're done racing or, you know, after the race, you kind of think about things that happen, right? Like, so I fell in a race, and I remember, like, the hardest thing when you're a top guy is when adversity comes, like, you're leading a race, you get knocked down. The hardest thing is to actually put back and jump back in the moment of, like, okay, I need to get up and salvage. Like, I'm still in this race. Usually when you get knocked down, like, it's always like, damn, like, everything's gone, man. I'm over it. Like, I lost the race. There's nothing to race for. And you kind of saw that with Cooper. Like, when he fell over, it was like, all right, he gets up, like, takes his time. And then, like, you almost got to snap back into it and remember where you're at and start, you know, focusing back in. Same thing to me happened to Roczen. Gets knocked down, like, the world's ending. He just stopped, you know, he just lost the lead. He knows it's in the beginning part of the race, a lot of people is going to pass him. And that's why when you saw him, he went back to, you know, 15th place or whatever. He didn't move up. This guy was just winning the race. He just won Anaheim, won by like 10 seconds. So you would think, you know, he goes back to 15th, he would move his way back up. But to me, that's kind of the mental thing that's hard for guys who always, you know, expect to win. that's kind of the hardest thing for guys who's always expecting excellence or expecting to win. It's when you're not in that situation to remember to grind. And it used to be hard for me. There was races that, like, again, if I was winning and I went down, if you go into a race all about winning, when you don't have a chance to do that, you kind of forget like what you're doing here. And that to me happened to Roczen, and that's why I think he went back to 15th and ended up like 13th. So that goes for all of us. I've did it. It's just one of those things that you just have to snap back in the moment. And that's when you have a good program, a good team, and your mechanic really comes into it. Saying fight, fight, fight. And I think you saw it a couple times on Roczen's pit board. Every position matters, because he knew, you know, his race was done. Like, what the hell am I here for? And that's a hard part for him. So ironically, listen to this. All right, you Ken Roczen, James Stewart, whoever. When something happens, we're leading the race, we get knocked down, we fall over. You see how, like, we get up? Like, damn. The world's ended. Like, oh man, I can't win. Like, kind of get up, shake the goggles out, check the phone, send a text, whatever it is, tweet. Then you look at, all right, let's just say a guy who, you know, hovers around fifth place, fifth to 10th. You see when they fall, they get their ass up. Why? Because they know that gas car, they know that check between fifth and sixth and 10th is a big difference. And it's almost like if we can have that same hustle, like, things would be different for us. And if you look at it, go back to the history, look at a guy who's winning the race that expects to win, when they fall compared to a guy that doesn't win and he falls, the difference in hustle. And that to me was Ken Roczen, you know, Cooper Webb. And this ain't a knock, because I used to do the same thing. It's just expecting of excellence, you know, what we expect when guys go into it, when you're expecting to win, when you don't have that opportunity, it's hard to remember what you're out there fighting for, because everything just went out the door. So sometimes, like, when you go down, you got to, like, think, like, dude, if I don't get up, that dude's going to take my girl, slap my mama, and we're going to keep rolling, and I'm going to be out of a job. So, and it almost sounds like we're, like, spoiled little sissies, but I just think it's a mindset that you have to be in that position to understand that position, and it is. And again, like you saw Ken, you know, a guy that just had a bad race, you know, a couple weeks ago, just got knocked down with Anderson, you know, in the race before that, you know, he, you know, had a tough race. So you would think if you're in the championship, you would get up and, like, hustle. And it's not Ken, it's all of us on there. And I remember, like, after my career, or even after some of the races, that I'm like, damn, like, why wouldn't you get up? And I remember Mike Webb said something to me one time, and it didn't dawn on me. He was like, dude, you should have got up quicker. And in my head, I'm like, huh, for what? I just lost. And then I watched the race, and I'm like, yeah, like, I should have got up quicker. Like, why? And I thought about it, and I'm like, well, it's because I lost the race. And all I cared about is winning. So when I couldn't do that, it was like, well, what are you out here doing? And that's, to me, those every single points in that championship thing. And it's not a negative. It's just something that, like, a mindset that you have to reset and focus. Okay, it's not about winning now. It's about, like, trying to get back to the top five. And that's hard. So when Ken got knocked down and he's in 15th and he moves up two spots, that's just kind of that mindset. So he's going to have to bounce back next weekend. But again, all that being said, we back. Eli Tomac, the champ is back. The champ is back. He's on that blue crew. You know, I want to thank, he almost said Monster Energy Kawasaki. I saw it on there, but he said Monster Energy Yamaha. Dude, that moved from New Mexico. Nah, that was El Hombre. Moved from Colorado to California. Now he's up at the goat farm in Tallahatchie or whatever the hell it is. But Eli Tomac, my pick to win the title. See, I told you I was right. You know what time it is. Eli Tomac, congratulations. You got the neck burn. Hit it, Cole.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
That thing's on hot. You know what? I'm going to have to invest in some lotion for these boys, because they getting burnt up neck. Like, and look at them, so pumped. Oh, it's such a good feeling. Chase, like, dude, I got to clean my underwear right now. Man, I almost crashed over that jump. It doesn't sound as good on the four stroke, but still, nonetheless, Eli Tomac, you the man this week. Red plate holder, team switch. And you would think a guy who's won almost 40 Supercross main events, you know, three motocross title, Supercross title, that you would kind of be used to this. But there's so much work, changes, sweat involved, so many people involved in the decision that, like, this win right here validates all his decisions. All decisions, all the doubters, and even that mind upstairs, like that little thing on stairs, like, did I make the right choice? That's why he's so happy. It ain't because he just blew these dudes out of the water. He's done that before. Eli Tomac, congratulations. You are a stud. You made me look good. I was getting nervous. All right, guys, you know what time it is. My favorite segment, maybe your favorite segment. It's time for guys to be either stews or stew. Either way, let's get into it. Stews of the week. Let's get it. Now, this week was tough to me because I just think like everybody did their own thing, right? Now, of course, number one, is, you know it, my championship pick, the red plate holder, the extraterrestrial, Eli Tomac, number one. You know what? Number two, because he did it so good, Eli Tomac. See, I'm just not going to give out stews to guys that just, you know, yeah, just whatever, you know? So I think he's deserving of two stews for the Eli Tomac number three. And number three, yeah, what the hell? Chase Sexton. Now, you probably wonder why the guy got third. Hey, it's great. He just won last weekend. He whooped everybody last weekend. He rode again, backed it up. He almost had a moment that I think he probably his pants, but he saved it. So I'm going to give Chase Sexton for another stew. So we're going to have it like this. Eli Smomac, and Chase Sexton. Those are my two out of three stews of the week. That don't even make sense. But God damn it, dude won. He ran around all y'all. I almost gave it back to El Rambre because he hit Ken Roczen with a landmine. It was back in World War III and that thing. He hit him with a boom. Ken was on the ground. But we'll say that for another level. So Eli Tomac, you my stew of the week. And just because I want to keep it fair and I want to keep it, I don't want to discriminate. I don't like everybody equally. That's what they say. Whatever. I just spread the love. Chase Sexton, number two. Eli, number one and two and three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I don't care. The stews of the week. Eli Tomac, Chase Sexton. Almost, you know what? Forget it. Eli Tomac. Those are my three one stews of the week. There it is. I'm done. Next. You know what time it is. Guys that should be stewed. Pissed off. You know how I say pissed off about whatever? Pissed off because you just got blown to hell by Enjambre, or just pissed off because you fell over like a wet noodle, whatever it is. Number one, you know where I'm going with this. Ken Roczen leading the race, got the whole shot. Chocolate's looking good. Is it me or his handlebars look super low? Either way, he got blown up by Enjambre. Now, last weekend, Jason Anderson was busting caps and fools on that and end up busting his own cap. But that was last week. This weekend, he's just blowing people up. Just came in like, boom, Kent, look, I ain't got no diapers. You didn't invite him to the private jet? Like, you ain't taking that flight back with him? He said, get out of here. He knocks you out of the way. Now, number two. Cooper Webb. Now, you might just think it's because of the finish or because he fell over on the wet noodle. Whatever it is, he's just stewed because normally when he doesn't win, he's just pissed off. So he's on my list, and I think he really is stewed, and I'm stewed too. So Cooper Webb, and number three, me. I'm stewed. Now you might ask why. Well, when you're watching the race and you're enjoying the race in a nice warm place, it's like 10 o'clock at night. Just smacked my kids in the head because they were jumping all over the bed. And I'm watching this and I see these 2-7 guys just knock each other out, right? Like, as the boss man, I'm like, what the hell is going on? What are you doing? So I tried spinning it and be like, oh, yeah, they did a good job because, like, look, they're promoting each other. Come to find out, these are the Euros that they were eating dinner and hanging out Christmas with my counterpart, Roger. Roger Beetlejuice. He hired them. And they knocking each other down like this. So I was stewed. So I'm on that list. So Ken Roczen, Wet Noodle, Potato Chip Band, Cooper Webb, and your boy James Stewart, me. Those are your three stewed of the week. Whew. See, I'm just stewed off right now. Anyways, cut it. I'm done.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.